Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Follow the direction of the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. And of course, just a reminder that we also co-broadcast over Twitch network, twitch.tv. So go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and you can watch us stream live video. And also you can participate in the chat room there, which is always full of fun people. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, feel free. My podcast account is sfuoncall. So if you want to know what the topic for the evening is and also the links to the YouTube videos, that you can go right there. And if you want to follow me personally, that's Paul Franz, P-A-U-F-R-A-N-Z. And just a reminder, I am very proud to be a Catholic, an O's fan, and also I love tech. So any of those you don't like, don't follow me. And of course, there's the Franz Games Twitter account, which you can follow if you want to see what the latest happenings are there. Just a reminder, it is a low volume account. So it's not like I post every day. I might post once a month, if that. Usually it's like once every few months. So it's a good one if you want something that's nice, not that much of a heavy volume. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets your podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. When it comes to ADB, actually, it's quite quiet at the moment. Obviously, just a reminder, there's, multiple things going on there from, of course, the latest product from F&E, the Tactical Ops, that's both available in hard copy and also online. You can get the e-version. And, of course, the specials that are happening on their online store. So stop by when you get a chance. And of course, a reminder that there's multiple things on StarfleetGames.com that you can get, which are free, including First Missions, which is basically, it's like a free cadet version of Federation Commander. Gives you, a beginner's guide to what is it like to play Federation Commander. And also, you can get the cadet training manual at one of the e-tailers for free. There's multiple. It's available on all three of the ones that ADB usually posts their games on: the War Game Vault, Warehouse 23, and of course, Drive-Thru RPG. Getting back to SFU Online. Of course, we have the Sapphire Star tournament coming up. We have one slot left. So if you want in, get it now while the getting's good, because otherwise you're gonna be put on the waiting list or wait for the next tournament. And going forward to the FedCom library, there's still no progress there because I am a schmuck and I haven't gotten back to processing those ships. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, my old Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got me, we got Dave, and of course, we have Barry. He's back. How you doing, Barry?
I'm doing wonderful. And you guys?
There it is. Okay. Just want to make sure that I'm listening. I'm watching over on Twitch and the chat room over there. We got Dave over there. We got me over there. And I'm sure other people will show up a little bit later. So, the topic for this evening in our Terminate Matchup series, what I'm calling it, Green Bay's 10, Arizona only 7. Well, that sounds about a normal game. It's about the mid of second quarter, so that's that one game a few weeks back was crazy. Okay. Boom. Okay. In the tournament matchup, we have the LDR, the TCWL, which is the light war cruiser, and we have the Romulan TKE, the Terman King Eagle. That's the King Eagle with some modifications to make it actually able to do a duel, because Lord knows beforehand it wasn't able to do that. So, well, I will now.
Are you talking about the one that's been in the, from T2000, or was there something prior to that? Or
no, there's always been. It's been in there since T2000. What I'm talking about is the non-tournament King Eagle, because there is a King Eagle ship.
Oh,
in Starfleet Battles.
In the
actual
right,
game,
but it's not tournament game.
Yeah, but it's not tournament based, and it doesn't have exactly the same weapons or power. You know, so
yeah, it would not do well.
Right. Oh, agreed. The one thing that to this day I still would really like, and I'm not so sure it would actually be bad, that it would actually make things unstable, or and that is to give the TKE its NSM back. It's a 35-point nuclear space mine.
It could use it. It could definitely use it.
And I feel like the important thing is don't have it so that it's hidden. T-bomb. We know where it is, and so it gives them a better point of terrain, mobile terrain, kind of mobile.
Yes.
It's not mobile terrain as I usually define it as, that being like seeking weapons, that's mobile terrain. It's more like a web.
It's terrain, but it's not mobile.
Right. It's like a falling web. Where you lay it and it's there, and then at some point it goes away. Well, of course, an NSM, mine doesn't go away. But I think that'd be cool. In my mind,
it would be.
I'm not sure why they replaced it with a T-bomb, to be honest.
Because they probably felt it was overpowered.
Yeah, but how?
It's not.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I get at. And it's like, I don't think that overpowering is the shit that makes it too strong. I don't think so. As it is, as I'm showing
that's
on screen.
That's considered
right.
one of the weakest tournament cruisers there is.
Oh, agreed. Even though it has some of the most nastiest weapons, i.e., the plasma R. Mm-hmm. Which is the heaviest plasma that's available. You can actually have a 100-point enveloping plasma torpedo. This is one of those things that nobody runs through. You might run through a plasma S enveloping torpedo. You will not be running through a plasma R enveloping torpedo.
No.
Because 100 divided by 6 is around, 15? I think that's about right.
Yeah.
It's a little more than 15 per.
It's more.
15 would be 90. Then you have an additional 10. So it'd be 16 plus an additional 4. That's more than half your shields are gone and like that. So yeah. Because I'm not sure if you were here, Barry, but I talked about the Romulan using the developing S torpedo and basically driving, being an opponent to it, driving right through it. I think that was the Gorn. Yeah. Gorn versus Fed? I forgot what the Fed matchup was. Or was it Fed versus Hydrogen?
I might not have.
It's been a while. But anyway.
I might.
Anyhow, of course.
I was not party to that discussion.
Yeah, the King Eagle, what's the wonderful thing about the King Eagle? It's got the Plasma R. It's got Plasma Fs with pseudo.
Fs.
Well, Chris, yeah, no internals though. But I agree. If you're looking for internals, but if you are able to hit a person with a 100-point enveloping plasma torpedo, you got it good. Now, of course, the King Eagle, the Terma King Eagle, against an Andromedan, that's 10 internals, because it's half on the front, half on the rear.
Yeah.
The rear is only a 40-point. Only a 40-point panel.
Right.
That's 10 internals, guaranteed. Boom.
Right.
Which is
really
bad for the Andromeda.
That is.
But anyhow, the King Eagle has got something which no other Terma cruiser has, and that is armor. Which is something that obviously you have to keep in mind. Because
I take issue with that, the Trobriand.
Yes, but true. But at the same time, or not? I'm specifically talking about the official sanctioned.
I guess it's because. In the sense that Trobriands in the official game have armor, but there is no official tournament cruiser other than the one I created.
Right, other than the King Eagle, there is no other officially sanctioned ship that has armor. The Omegas haven't been officially sanctioned yet. Not sure if they ever will. Have to wait and see.
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not holding my breath either. And as we've had this talk many, many times, I think having Omega as their own separate tournament they're a lot more likely to have as sanctioned ships than putting them all together in one big pot. Though I understand the feeling about wanting to do that, it's just that they're not really designed to fight each other, and they shouldn't be designed to fight each other, and modifying one to be upgraded so it can fight the other, i.e. the Megas upgrade to fight the Alphas, I think it's kind of a fool's errand.
Well,
but anyhow, as we digress,
I know. We can go back and go through that whole bark over that bone for years, and we'll never get anywhere.
Oh, okay.
But I will tell you that how many people are playing the Omegas? Not many.
Oh, I agree there.
And my whole push on that was to get people, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I want to look at that and play it.
Oh, agreed.
That was my whole push.
Agreed. I think if they can get, at this moment in time, I think the better chance of getting Omega into, people play Omega is to get people to play the FedCom versions of Omega.
That may be. That may be.
I think it might be a bit easier in that way, because I think we get newer people into the SFB universe using Federation Commander than we do SFB. That's my feeling. Now, am I right or wrong?
You're probably right. No, I think you're right about that.
Mm-hmm. So that would be interesting. But anyway, getting back, obviously one of the benefits to this lovely ship called the King Eagle is, of course, the two pseudo, plasma Fs. It's one of the only plasma ships that actually have plasma Fs. And for, in my mind, a good reason, and that is because of it only has three torpedoes versus four. And most people say, oh, it's only one torpedo. But one torpedo, why does it make a big difference? Well, it makes a huge difference in the way you play plasma. Because of normally you can pair a plasma S with a plasma F, and you've got 50 points worth of plasma. Well, you only can do 50 points points of plasma every three turns. So the only way you get close, which is 40 points of plasma, and that's with two Fs. You know?
Right.
So, but it's really, you know what, that really points out one thing about the King Eagle. And that is, you can't play it like other plasma ships. That's what speaks to me.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Unfortunately, it's got the cheapest cloak in the game.
Right.
And it needs that.
Oh, yes.
And that cloak is critical. It's the most cloak-dependent ship in the game.
Agreed.
Well, other than the Soldra, who has not been balanced, and that is not ready for prime time, and I don't know if it'll ever be.
I understand. The anything in Omega is still going to require quite a bit of work. You have some which are pretty balanced, but for the most part, most of them are not that way, and definitely will require quite a bit of work. And Lord knows, I will just mention this one last time, hopefully, and not talk about it again, this evening, which is, it seemed like, at least to you, Barry, that the big issue is that in some cases, the actual rules have to be modified for tournament play when it comes to the Omegas, to have it so that they're balanced.
Yes. That is.
Dave says he thinks the Soldra are great, but they need more shield boxes.
That's a very valid point. Mm-hmm. They don't have very many shield boxes. And they seem like they'd be a lot of fun to play if you could get them balanced.
Right, right. And
because they have an interesting dynamic to them.
Yeah, aren't the soldiers the ones with the dark energy weapons?
Yes.
Which
was, to tell you the truth, that was a stupid idea, but what I liked about them, and I know we need to get back to LDR versus King Eagle, but the one thing I did like about the soldier, there were a couple of things I liked about the soldier. First was that it had the best cloak in the game. Mm. In that it was run off a capacitor, which meant that when you fired your cloak, you could run at top speed, charge weapons, do all that, because you didn't have to pay for it. That you started the game with that capacitor charged.
Right.
So, and the other thing was that it was, I think, once you fired that cloak, it was completely hidden. So you took your counter off the board, and you could go anywhere. But you could always stay cloaked, and you could not be damaged in any way whatsoever when you were cloaked. But 16 impulses later, you're coming back.
Yep.
And then there's like a 96 impulse cool down before you can even start to charge the capacitor again.
So that's like three turns. Yeah, so three turns. Dang.
Three. Yep. Yeah. And then the cost to charge that capacitor was massive. So that was basically use it once in a scenario to get your ass out of a crack.
Right.
And then you're not using it again. But boy, it got you out good.
Right. Or something along the lines of you can use it offensively, like the Andromeda displacement device, in that with a cloak that can actually remove yourself from the board and they can't hit you at all. There's no chance.
Right.
In theory, you can basically dive, kind of go under, quote unquote, your enemy ship and come back on the other side and head back towards them.
You can do that.
Yeah. Dave was mentioning it's called a dimensional phase device. So, yes. It's not called a cloak, but it's effectively a cloak.
A hidden cloak.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. To get back to the topic at hand. Yeah, and of course, the matchup I put the TKE against is the LDR. Now, of course, given the LDR has two nasty things called ESGs. So the whole idea.
And phaser Gatlings.
Yes. And
so Don't forget the phaser Gatlings.
Oh, I will not. Which means those two things mean two things. Number one, cloaking, not a good idea. Because the LDR will run over your butt, because even if it has the cheapest cloak out there, it still requires a lot of power. And so you're going much slower than the LDR can go when it doesn't need to cloak and just run you over.
Right.
And of course, then there's the phaser Gs, which is a good defense against plasma.
Yes.
You can use, and obviously you can also use them for close in fights, which the TKE is never going to want to do, period. Most plasma ships don't want to do knife fights. Knife fights is not their forte. Not good at-
And that's what the LDR lives for, knife fights.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But of course, here's the one thing I've always found with the LDR myself. And that is that even though it's perfect for knife fights, it doesn't have the internals for a knife fight against the
It can dish it out, but it can't take it.
Ships. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which is the issue with knife fights.
Right. Well, it's kind of like schizophrenic in that I want to be close, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, there are obviously some beautiful things about the ship. Also, it's one of the only ships in the tournament that have forward extended disruptors.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two disruptors that can fire in a 270 degree arc, if I'm remembering this correctly. 270, or is it more or less?
It is
300. It's 300, actually, isn't it?
300. Yes, it's 300. It's 180 plus 60 plus 60.
Okay, so
it's 300. Yep.
180 plus 60 plus 60. Yeah, that's 300. Yep. Yeah, I took 360 and subtracted 60, because 60 degrees is one arc.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I came up with it. Same, two different formulas come up with the same answer.
Yeah.
It's like yeah. Calculating tips.
Type you know, if you want, subtractive.
You want to calculate 15% tip, what do? There's two ways of doing it. One is
up or down.
Is figure out what's 10%, which is easy, and then take that 10% divided by two. And then you got 10% plus 5%, and then boom, you got 15%. That's one way of doing it.
Or 20 minus 5, yeah.
Or you want to be easier? Just do 20%. Then 10% by 2 times 2.
These days, I usually do 25%.
Yeah. I
know how.
Oh, understood. Yeah, I used to go to the Roadhouse.
Are hurting so bad.
Oh, understood. I used to go to the Roadhouse for breakfast. Now, the breakfasts there are relatively cheap. You know, they're what?
Yeah.
I have breakfast there for like $10, something like that.
But there's a minimum. I always give like $5 minimum.
Okay, exactly. Same here. You know, the reason why I'd usually maybe get $15 tip on $10 bill. And that's because of it. To me, it wasn't the amount of food. It's the service.
The service.
The amount of work that they're doing is what you're basically giving them. You know, giving them a tip for how well they're working. You know. So
yeah.
Anyhow, now of course, the one good thing about this matchup. Is they're two ships that don't have that many internals.
Yeah.
In case of the King Eagle, you've got 6 center hull. When it comes to Liren, you've got 5 forward hull, 5 rear hull, and 4 center hull, which is basically twice. Actually, more than twice. You know, it's around a little more than twice of the King Eagle. But of course, what's the King Eagle have? It has the armor.
But the King Eagle has armor. Yep.
Right. Which to me, what that means to me, really, is I count that as a 40-box shield. Because that's basically what it is. The only time you can't really think about it that way is if you're ever flying against a ship that has a Hellbore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, direct fire weapons is just, okay, hits the armor, whoop-de-doo. Hellbore, as soon as it gets past your shields, then it hits, you know, whether it's facing or not.
Right.
You know.
Got a question for you. The King Eagle, does that have 30-point all-around shields? Or
yes, it does.
Reduce the rear shields?
No, they did not.
What's that?
They did not reduce the rear shields like the Archeo. So they have 30 box all around. Yep. Good thing too.
Well, that's a big advantage.
Yep. And you know, we talk about the King Eagle being one of the weakest ships in the tournament, and it is. And it needs 30 box all around shields. You know, that additional, compared to a standard heavy cruiser, standard ship. Where it's 30 in the front, the front half shields, and then 24 in the rear half shields, you know, that the additional 6 per side on the rear is a blessing, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, come to think of it, that NSM would be awesome against the LDR.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because
that would eat the ESGs.
Yep. And of course, there's one thing that if you're in this game, one thing I would keep in mind, which is that T-bomb. That T-bomb is a nice little sucker. And this is why. A T-bomb. A ready to explode T bomb does 10 points of damage. It'll do 10 points of damage against the ESG. So it can reduce the ESG by 10 points So if the LDR is chasing the King Eagle, which invariably it probably will be, and it's had the LDR has the ESGs up, if the King Eagle can time it right, so that the T bomb is active before the ESG runs over it, you can reduce the ESG by 10.
Yeah.
And what comes to
either way, if the T bomb gets laid, it doesn't matter if it gets laid inside the ESG. Well, now you've anchored the LDR to. It's going to run over those ESGs later on the rear half of the ESG.
Right. Well, the thing is, if the ESG if the T bomb is not active and the ESG goes through it, the T bomb dies.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is let's say the ESG goes through the T bomb, and then the T bomb goes live, and then the ESG goes up.
Right.
But the T bomb's inside of it. Well,
agreed.
You're going to hit that T bomb.
Agreed. Though I think it's more likely the scenario is that you use the T bomb after the ESG is up or has been agreed. It could be done while it's being called to be up. That is true.
Yeah.
I was going to say about this. Yeah. So obviously it makes. With the ESG versus when it comes to LDR versus the King Eagle, that means that there's no cloak. So the King Eagle is going to be running its butt around the board as fast as possible and using its plasmas to hopefully turn the LDR. Now, see, this is one of those cases. This is one of those cases, Chris.
Yeah.
That I think, I truly believe this, that you might actually want to use an enveloping, started with an enveloping plasma R.
Yeah.
Because of the LDR, in theory, if he really wants to, okay, you've got two Gatlings. That's going to reduce any plasma. If you can center line them, which you can probably do it. It probably shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah.
Reduce it by 16. Yeah. Now you got another six phaser 15. Ones.
Yeah.
So there's a good possibility you can reduce it to the point where it only is doing what? 15 points of damage.
Yeah, right.
And if you can do it to 15, you're not going to slow down. Which means that and the King Eagle is not going to use too many its plasmas at one time, because otherwise it will have nothing to defend itself with, because that's the one thing that you use plasma for, which is mobile terrain. Is the whole idea is to have it so that you have something that's going to deter your opponent from overrunning your butt, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, since it's a King Eagle and you have basically a Lyran, in this case the LDR, who has ESGs, you can't cloak to save your butt.
Right.
Because he'll just run you over. And when he runs you over, even if he lost lock on to your ship, it's like it's the flash cube situation again.
Oh, yeah.
He sees your ship and he can get locked. He has a chance of lock on. And it's not the one where you break the lock on and then try to regain it. Not that one. The one you remove the additional, I think, minus 10, I think it is. Or plus 10. Sorry, not 10. 6.
5.
Plus or minus 6. I forget which way it goes. I don't have the cloaking
Well, there's equation. +5 and double.
Right. Well, no, you're talking about.
Oh, sorry, double and then +5.
That is when you're firing.
Oh, you're talking about for lock. Well,
I'm talking about achieving
lock
on
things, but yeah, but lock on real. Here's the thing: lock on doesn't matter for the LDR. It has no seekers. All it does is double the range. So well, you can get to range 0.
Yeah, but if you don't have lock on, it's also double range +5. It's double range +5, and then you still have to roll to see how much damage you do.
Yes, that's true. But I don't think the damage reduction cares about lock-on. The only thing that cares about lock-on for direct fire weapons is the doubler. And if you're in the same hex, all it is the +5 and the damage reduction.
Hmm?
That doesn't matter whether you flash cube them or not.
Oh, there it is. Jeez, I can't believe it. No, it was what?
Scary that I remember these rules.
I'm trying to look up the it's all rules in my now. Head. Ah, C13, not G10. G13, not 3. Don't mind me. Ba, ba, ba. Combat without lock on. Okay, come on. Enemy ship has no lock on. All penalties apply. That's G13.30. Specific case seeking weapons. Direct fire weapons are penalized because of the poor fire resolution. This is reflected in penalties in that. See G13.34 for additional conditions. What's that one? That is what? That is. Direct fire, all direct fire weapons use the effective range to determine probability to hit. In all cases, the adjustment chart is used to adjust the adjustment chart in G13.37. Which is the fire adjustment, which is roll a die 6 and the weapon does either normal, half, or quarter damage.
Mm-hmm. But is that affected by retention of lock-on or not? I don't think it is.
Yeah, well, that chart is not. But the range is affected by lock-on.
Oh, it's double +5. And
right.
If you... retain lock on, it's just +5. So if you close with the cloaked ship to range 0, it doesn't matter whether you retain lock on or not. It's the same damage.
True.
So set your ESGs to range 0 and overrun the cloaked guy. You're going to flash cube him, but it doesn't matter. Other than suicide shuttles, that's the only seekers you've got.
True. And you have 2 shuttle bays in the LDR.
You do. Yeah, if he cloaks and you overrun him with 2 ESGs, and at that point, if he, it's almost worth over running through a enveloper R, saving your phasers to damage him.
Yep.
I would use the Gatlings against the plasma because they're basically meaningless.
I agree.
+5 to the range.
Yeah, which is what I pointed out earlier that, you know, this is one of the times that the King Eagle might want to start with an enveloping R because of the LDR will not have a chance to knock it down. Now, there's always the other approach, which is The question is whether it will be, you have to really sell it, which is hard to do, which is start with a plasma R or standard plasma R, but have it as pseudo.
Mm-hmm.
Which will hopefully have the Liren, you know, that player blow his wad, you know, his phasers on that, on the pseudo, and then you can launch the real one.
And if he does, yeah, if you do that, the LDR, if he's too close, he hets and runs. And if he's a little further away, he may be able to turn.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that the moment, okay, he runs through the plasma R and he fires his wad of phasers and oops, they were fake. Okay. Now he's looking at this going, okay, I don't really want to get close. I want to make sure I have the ability to turn and run out the real R that I know is left, but certainly dump the disruptors if I get too close.
Right.
If you start running too early, then he just holds on to the... The other thing is that you cannot hold a plasma R.
Correct, which is, in that case, unless what you do is you have a rolling delay.
Yes, you do.
And if you have a standard, then you then launch it from battery.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually the tactic.
Yeah.
Now, that's one of those things that is an issue for the King Eagle, obviously, which is it only has 6 boxes of hull. After that, what gets hit?
Yeah.
Battery. And if, mm-hmm. like any other plasma ship out there, you want to have battery for 2 reasons. One is, of course, the rolling delay.
The fast charge.
And the other one is, of course, the fast charge. The fast charge Fs.
Yep.
You know? So... That is an excellent question in my mind anyway, which is for a plasma ship, given that you get internals, what do you repair first? What would you repair first? Would you repair
batteries,
battery or weapon?
What the weapon is.
Because here's the reason why I asked.
The other thing is,
remember, battery takes 2 points of repair to fix a battery.
Right. They're cheap.
Yep. So in theory, you could repair two destroyed batteries in one turn. And all of a sudden, now you've got a fast load.
Yep, you can.
You can do a fast load F, which previously you couldn't.
But the fast load F was 3 points.
And then of course, later on, you know, if you repair the batteries, that means you can't repair as many weapons later on. And if you use all your repair for batteries, you can't repair any weapons. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's a.
But for a fast load of an F is what? Let's say you were doing. An F cannot be fast loaded. An R could be fast loaded as an F.
Right.
But it's what? 2-2.
2-2 with 2 points of power from reserve.
Just 2 points.
Yeah. So it's total 6 points
so
of power.
So you basically 6 points of power for the fast load F. Okay, which is slightly less efficient than a regular F.
Right. Which is Well, it's what it's supposed to be, because it's fast load. It's an emergency measure is what it's really meant to be. It's designed to be, because of course you, since it's a large torpedo tube, you want to be able to reload the large torpedo.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, fast loading an R as an F is really, that's painful.
That's desperation. Yeah. Well, when it comes to King Eagle, that would be truly desperation, because that means you can't wait for next turn. That either it's a death blow, you know, an additional 20. In this case, I can see that being a death blow. If you get 20 internals this turn, that's a win.
Yeah.
Against the LDR, it's a win. Versus, you know, wait till next turn and hopefully get into a good position to apply the killing shot. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's completely...
Although, if 20 points is going to kill the LDR, then he ain't moving quick anyway.
That's true. Actually, that's one I did not look, which is one thing I mentioned a couple weeks ago, which with the Orion, is, of course, control spaces. I just want to double check here. Yeah. This, the LDR has five control spaces. I missed the flag bridge. And the King Eagle has five also.
That neither one of them is going to be uncontrolled.
Yeah. But and actually, it's going to be harder on the King Eagle, because King Eagle only has bridge and flag bridge. No emergency. No auxiliary control.
Yeah, but with bridge and flag bridge, that means there's less control hits on the back.
Yeah, you have to roll twos.
Yeah, and not all on the same volley either.
Correct. And the flag bridge, you have to have two twos in a volley. Or you have to destroy the bridge first.
Yeah.
This I know from playing the Andromeda, what's the Dizzy Dev hit on? Flag bridge. Have I ever had I lose a Dizzy Dev? Yes.
It ruins your whole day. That is expensive to repair.
Give me a less, more reason to dislike tournaments. I'm not sure why that is. But anyhow, so in the case, okay, so
here's a modification for the tournament crit: add a flag bridge. Nobody ever talks about that. But I could see it being useful for it.
Again, there's always imbalances between ships, period, whether it's tournament or non-tournament. It is what it is. And fleets versus fleets. It depends upon what ships versus what ships. You know, it's rock, paper, scissors. You know?
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, the one thing that I've mentioned it before, and it bugs me to this day, which is, you know, the whole idea that you can't use probes for anything but as an emergency weapon, you know, in tournament. It bugs me. But
I don't even think you can use it in tournament. I don't think.
Yes, you can. You can use probe launchers as an emergency weapon in tournament play.
Really? I thought that was specifically disallowed.
No, it's that you can't use probes in tournament play.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you could use a probe as an emergency weapon. I thought it was.
Yeah. Unless they
Then the
change the rules
2000
from
rule book?
See if possibly. Da, 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 da. Da, da, da. Da, da, da. Let's see if I. Let's see if I can. There's the rule book. Just want to see for a moment, which is. Because I think. Let me do a find probe. Oops, wrong one. That'd be up here. Remind me later. Oh, there it is. There it is. The following rules will be used. Probes G5.3 as weapons by crippled ships only, not for information.
Interesting.
Yep. And it's well, I think they added as weapons for crippled ships only, not for information for the Module T 2012 because of it was because the reason why I say that is because way back in the day I'm gonna have to say maybe the module, you know, that back in 2000 when with a
yeah
or possibly before then I actually had approached Steve Petrick about that because it said that you will be used as probes, you know, that you can actually probes will be used in tournament of play. And I asked him whether it actually could be used for informational purposes. And he said no. Because, as I pointed out before, I think it would be a great benefit for the for ships like LDR. LDR has two labs.
Yeah.
In the case of the Andromedan has two labs. As Andromedan, mm-hmm. I would be willing to pay the cost of charging the probe to for informational purposes, so I could use them. You know, obviously, we're limited to five probes, and of course, if I use them for informational purposes, I can't use them for as a weapon, which is that's just weird. That's something I've never actually tried to do with Andromedan yet. Which actually, I don't think I've ever used, even non-Andromeda, ever used a probe as a weapon in tournament play.
Emergency weapon?
Emergency weapon, have not done that. Now, I have read about it being used in tournament play.
Yeah.
And that it's usually late in the game when both ships are just beat the crap out of, you know?
Well, you have to be crippled before you can do that.
Right. But I think this might have been like the final game where both opponents were crippled and, you know, they're just, you know, each one was trying to get that last killing blow kind of thing.
Right. I hate to say this, but it's past my bedtime, so I'm
okay.
Going to call it a night at this point.
Okay.
Bye.
You have a good night. Bye. So, the one thing actually I wanted to ask Barry, but we never got around to it, which is, okay, we know what, pretty much what the King Eagle's tactics, its approach is going to be when it comes to the Lyran, the LDR. I would either one of two things, which is launch a standard or enveloping. That's obvious. Only two approaches to begin with. Now, it's going to be a count. Obviously, during the flow of the game, for the King Eagle, it's going to be a cat and mouse game when it comes to pseudos. That's going to be the only thing that's going to save its butt. is going to be tried to out. I don't want to say outguess. I want to have outthink the LDR in making them think that you are launching a real plasma while you're launching a fake plasma. And then he makes a mistake based on that. That is what you want him to do. Because, of course, unlike most plasma ships, this one has just four phaser ones. So it doesn't have that many phasers to... Because normally the wisdom, the standard wisdom when it comes to plasma ships is that, and at least in a dual scenario, is that you use the plasma to as mobile terrain to force your opponent to either be running away or turning in, have to knock down your plasma at the very least, with possibly running away to reduce the actual damage potential of the plasma. And use your phasers as the offensive weapons. You know, the whole idea is that if you hit them with your plasmas, great. If you don't, great. King Eagles needs to land them. Just because it doesn't have much when it comes to phasers. You know, it has all got four. Now, the one thing we haven't talked about, which is, of course, the other side of the fence, which is the LDR. Now, with the LDR itself, obviously, at least in my mind, given that it's a two-thirds arming ship, not two-thirds arming, two-thirds movement cost ship, you're going to want to keep up the speed. So one, to be able to run away from the plasma when you can, because in my mind, the LDR basically stopping and while weaseling is the worst thing it can do. Absolute worst. With the Kingo, because what you're doing, when you do that, what's the Kingo going to do? He's going to stay away while he's recharging his plasmas, which is what he wants you to do. Now, obviously, he's not going to come in. Most probably, he will not come in and barrel you over because you've got the power and you've got the ESGs. So you got the phaser G. So you're ready for him to come in. So he would not do that, and that's fine. But if you ever want to, he's going to run around the board recharging his plasmas while you try to get up to speed. Or while you're trying to get up to speed, he's going to knock you down again with some more plasma, or at the very least, you know, have you use your phasers as you're trying to get up speed, which you can do, you know. But I feel like, you know, that's the worst thing you do. The most probably, as Barry pointed out, the LDR has two shuttle bays, so you'll probably want to use. I would personally prepare the two special shuttles as suicide shuttles to begin with, so that because this ship is designed for up and close personal combat, you know, when it comes to the weapons, not necessarily the ship. The weapons, yes, the ship, not so much. And so that you can take advantage of having those two shuttle bays, which means you can have two shuttles launched at the same time, and possibly overrun the Kingo. And at the very least, you've got a weapon against the King Eagle if he ever decides to do something foolish as cloaking. Now, will he do something foolish like that? I know I wouldn't, until at the very least one of those ESGs is bye-bye. Possibly even both. Because as pointed out by Barry, the one thing that you have to keep in mind is that with the ESG, you have the flash cube effect, And it's not necessarily the damage. In the case, it's just a flash cube effect. In the case, at that point, you can tractor him. You have lock on, you can tractor the King Eagle at that point. And then after you get that lock on, you can tractor him, then you can launch the suicide shuttles. And yes, the suicide shuttles still have to still roll the percentage chance of when it comes to hitting or not, how much they're going to do. But, you know, it's going to slow down the King Eagle, and you've got most probably you're going to hit on the same shield because of you're going to hit him. Now, yeah, the only way this will not work, and it just requires a little bit of timing, which is if the King Eagle can side slip as right after you launch the shuttles, because if you launch the if you do that, the King Eagle can then side slip away and get away from the shuttles. You know, in which case you're just wasted your shuttles. So my assumption would be that you would not do such a foolish thing. So what you're going to probably be doing is using, at the very least, your phaser G's, most probably for plasma defense, while you're flying around and beating the King Eagle to death with your disruptors and your phasers. You know, because you want to get close, but the King Eagle doesn't want to get close. And the way you don't want to get too close because of, again, the LDR is not designed for close combat when it comes to defenses. Offensive, yes. Defensive, not so much. So I think, you know, that would be the better approach. Now, obviously, that if you have a chance to kill, go for it. But, you know, until that opportunity presents itself, you know, this is always the to me, this is always the gotcha when you're facing seeking weapon races, which is especially plasma. Lord knows with plasma. And that is, okay, let's say that you quote-unquote kill the ship. Most of the time, you don't actually kill the ship, as in destroy, you completely blow up the ship. Most of the time, what you do is you cripple the ship to the point where he can't fight anymore. But here's the gotcha, which always got to keep in mind, which is that plasma torpedo tube can still launch that plasma. So if the plasma comes back, hits you, and blows you up, he wins. Even though you just crippled him to the point where basically he next turn, he might be moving all of maybe 2 or 3 hexes. It doesn't matter. He's got a rumble ship. You don't have a ship. So, you know, that's to me, that's always the gotcha with plasma. Now, usually when it gets to that point, though, you got one ship or the other ship, and they're both pretty damaged, and most probably the plasmas aren't going to be charged and ready to roll. But it is possible. You know, in the case of, you know, the King Eagle, let's say that the King Eagle has gotten his don't get me started on BPV. Because of the if it has the plasma are charged and ready to roll, and you blow that up, and he can get, and he's got enough movement because of, remember, we don't do energy allocation. Due to damage, I forget what it is. Basically, you have to recalculate your energy allocation and so forth, and you have to certain things go away. in the middle of the turn instead of at the beginning of the turn. So if the Kino doesn't have his plasma arc facing you at that point when you knock him, but you're still going, he's still flying, he can, and you happen to get in front of him and he launches that plasma, he can still kill you. You know? Oh, me? Iggy? What I said was, don't get me started on BPV. BPV is an imprecise measure of the battleworthiness of a ship. There, it's like a good way of approaching it is when it comes to baseball. Baseball, you can measure a batter's worth purely by his average. Is that a good number overall? Yeah, I think it's a good number, but it's not. It's an imperfect metric, especially given in my mind. Batting percentage does not include walks. Now, walks, in my mind, at the very least, not the pitch out walks where you just, like, you know, the pitcher just gives you the walk versus he pitches to you and you are good enough of a batter not to swing at that pitch and it's a walk. There's a difference there. But I think an on-base percentage might be a better number. But usually there's all kinds of stats when it comes to batters. But batting percentage is just one. And it's imprecise, but is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. Same thing with, you know, BPV. BPV is a flawed number. So saying, oh, as you said, you know, oh, it's a 140 versus 140 versus 337. In my mind, they're close enough to call them equal because it's imprecise. Because that number does not take in consideration the scenario that's being played, the ships themselves, and whether they are meant to be matched up at all. You know, it, as I said, it's a very imprecise number. Yeah. Agreed. No, it's good for historical enemies, yes, agreed. It's not perfect, but it's not bad. I agree, Iggy. So, anyhow, had a nice little talk about the King Eel versus the Eldegar, which I think is a very interesting matchup, just because of you got two small ships, both are totally different. Thought presses, you know, we have plasma versus purely direct fire. It's like, you know, King Eel versus Saltorian, though. Saltorian's a big difference because you don't have any ESGs. So it doesn't have any. Saltorian has no defensive weapons whatsoever, while the Eldegar has those ESGs. But anyhow, I digress. So with that, I am Paul Franz. I'd bid you a good night.